Ladies and no fappers, Andy here, day 49 of the Inner Winner Show. I just recorded an episode with Josh from the Pinnacle of Man YouTube channel. Absolutely kick-ass human being who helps guys overcome porn addiction and build an awesome life. We talked girls, why pickup artists are weird robots, why you'll always have haters, and how to touch your pee-pee a little less.
My first, 10 interviews, I had it so, structured and formal, and, I would do the intro. Oh, man. And I get so nervous. I would get nervous. And then they would get nervous. And then it's, this weird, standoff where you're both trying to, put on your best behavior. You don't speak normally.
Yeah, no, it's robotic. And
Yeah.
I know. It's like a guy running game on a chick, using pickup lines. It's the same shit. You're in your head. Yeah, it's...
Oh, man. Can we please just have a 10-hour conversation on that, too?
Dude, we can talk about whatever you want, man. You guide it. I'm there with you, man. We'll vibe. We'll have some good quality content, I'm sure.
That is one of my biggest, I won't say pet peeves, because at heart, I'm a libertarian. I don't really care what anyone
Same,
else does.
100%.
But I can't say that it doesn't make me cringe when someone is running game, as you say, and they've got all these lines in their head and you can see them. I've watched pickup artists because for some reason, Melbourne has a really big pickup artist community. And I've watched them. You can just sit next to them and listen to what they're saying. And man, some of it is just, it's like they're running through routines. They're going what's your favorite vegetable? Would you say that men or women are better at having a shower? It's these weird, I don't know if autistic is the right word, but it's robotic or socially awkward questions that no human being would ever actually say. It just comes across as this weird, interviewee style.
Yeah, and that's why when the mass amount of people hear pickup artists and dating coaches, that's what they think of because that's what sticks out, right? If quote unquote pickup or someone who's running game, so to speak, is correct, you can't even tell, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's the old school stuff. People would be like, right, it's I don't know how well you're immersed into that stuff, but that was the old school stuff, right? And I think I know a lot of that comes from guys just not feeling what they could say is good enough. So they have to rely on these lines because if they weren't using some lines, they wouldn't even talk to the girl at all. So in one sense, it is cringy. In the other sense, I feel for those men because that was me my first year doing it too. I had these lines I would say to girls too. So I understand where these guys are coming from. It's kind of sad though.
See, I was blessed because I knew a lot of pickup artist stuff and I watched a lot of those kind of videos. I was at a point, this was probably about 5 years ago, where I wanted to start talking to girls. I wanted to start hitting on girls in person. And I was blessed because I found this guy called Good Looking Loser.
Yep. Yeah. I was a big fan of Chris.
Great. He basically says, just go up to the girl and tell her that you think she's cute. And I was like, wait, you can't do that. Don't you have to have something to say? And his whole premise is, no, just go tell her you think she's cute. Make sure that you're attractive, work on your looks and stuff. And then all you have to do is say hello. That's my philosophy. That's what I get across to everyone. And people will still say to me, but what should I say when I get there? And I'm like, I don't know, just fucking make something up. You're going to do a shit job the first 10 or 20 or 50 times you do it. Who cares? Just go and get in there and say something. Life isn't... rehearsed. This podcast we're doing right now, we didn't rehearse this. You literally said to me, I don't want to read the questions that you're going to ask me. I want to freestyle it.
No. Yeah, 100%. Because what that does is I actually had this epiphany. You get an epiphany that's kind of cognitive, something in your brain versus knowing it in your soul, your heart.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I had this epiphany on psychedelics last time I took acid. And
oh, dude, can we play? Oh, my God. I'm loving you already. I just did a podcast with a guy and we talked for 2 hours about LSD. So,
dude, I had this understanding of when you're in your head, you're disconnected from reality. And so anything that puts you in your head, you're literally disconnecting yourself from the girl. And all girls are looking for are connection. And so if you're not in the moment with her and offering that presence, that masculinity, she's going to feel disconnected and she's going to reject you. And that's why women are a huge proving ground to step into yourself as a man. You know what I mean?
You are speaking my language here, dude. That hit me really hard what you just said. One of the biggest things that I get across to guys and something I do myself a lot is just be real with girls. Stop the bullshit. Stop the games. Just you're talking about a connection. That's the same thing. So I can't tell you how many times I've been with a girl and I'll go up to a girl and I'll hit on her. I'll say yo, you're cute. I'm Andy. What are you up to? And I'll realize that I'm super nervous. And instead of trying to act super confident and play these games and pretend that I will literally just say yo, I'm really fucking nervous right now. And I'll giggle. Yep. And then she'll be like, wait, really? And then I'm like, yeah. Or sometimes I'll say like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm supposed to say now. What am I supposed to say? And she'll be like, I don't know. And like, it's exactly like what you just said. It's like, okay, now we're connecting. This isn't this weird fucking right. game where you're the enemy right. and I have to try and like jump through hoops yeah. or impress you. And you're not at arm's length. It's like I'm grabbing you and I'm yanking you close to me. And I'm saying like, yo, I'm fucking nervous. Are you nervous? And she'll be like, yeah, I'm nervous too. Cool. Now we have like a fucking connection.
Exactly. And here's the thing is like some guys would hear this. I'd say probably a couple, not that many listening to this, but like some guys would hear this and they'd be like, oh, so I tell her I'm nervous then? It's like, no, you're missing the fucking point. Like, you tell her what's on, like authentically what's on your mind. Cause like women, like people are intuitive machines, but women way more than men. And so they're going off how you feel, period. There's something called state transference in psychology. You probably heard of it. It's like, especially women are more like, this is a state of contention around people. It's kind of controversial, but like women are more susceptible to like the influence of men than vice versa. It's just a feminine trait, and that's not a bad thing. But like she's like subconsciously taking in how you feel in the moment. And so if you feel anxious, then she's going to pick up that anxiety and want to reject you. But like if you feel relaxed, and that relaxation comes from being authentic and honest, like because as soon as you, for example, Andy, when you said that you were nervous, did you kind of like take like a deep like breath and like things kind of calm down for you, or did that make you more nervous?
No, for sure. Like just admitting that you're nervous, or just admitting that you're anxious, or just admitting that you have no idea what the fuck to say—that's confidence. That calms you down. That's like, yeah, I have the balls to at least admit I don't know what the fuck exactly. I'm doing. That relaxes you. Exactly. There's no pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly, man. Exactly.
We are speaking the same language, my brother.
Hmm. It's a language of truth. I mean, there is no other language.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but a lot of guys, they'll hear like, just be real, just be yourself. And for them, it's like the problem with that is when a lot of guys who hear that, they don't think that they're good enough. It's like, well, yeah. I'm not good enough the way I am. I have to like come up with these lines, tactics, or, you know, whatever they think they need. But like in the core behind it all, it's like if they don't feel like they're good enough at the core, then they're never going to take this action to like even approach and put themselves out there, you know?
Yeah, that's why, like, because that's been my biggest barrier to entry with like mentoring and teaching other guys. So the first article I ever wrote on my website, and one of my biggest concepts, is give yourself permission to suck.
Yes.
If you're sitting there saying like, I'm not going to do a good job, I'm nervous, like, how do I be real? How do I be authentic? I just say like, just do a shit job of being real and authentic. It's fine. You'll figure it out as you go along. I have plenty of articles and YouTube videos and podcasts and shit teaching you how to do that. But for the most part, you're going to fucking suck. Even if you read everything I have to say, even if they read everything you have to say and watch every single one of your videos, they're going to suck. They just will. Mm-hmm. They haven't figured mm-hmm. it out. Like, you have to go out there and test it and actually do mm-hmm. it. That's my advice. Like, if you're worried about being real, just accept the fact you're going to do a shit job and just try anyway. I sucked at it. So I'm sure you did.
Oh, dude, I can tell you stories upon stories. Yeah.
Tell me stories. Go. I have some cringy stories, bro.
Oh, my God. I mean, how far back? I'll just kind of the first one that comes into my mind. Let's see here. Okay, so this one girl, I remember she had a huge crush on her, like probably more than any other girl in the whole entire school. And one day in class, like her guy friend like shouted out in the middle of class, like, oh, this girl, she thinks you're hot in front of everyone, the whole entire class. Like she's like she's literally saying, and when I heard that, I was like, oh, he's just making that up, right? Like there's no, he's just saying that to like make fun of me. Like she doesn't actually believe that. He's teasing her, right? So going through my perception, I wasn't good enough, right? And then literally, dude, like the next day in front of the whole entire school, she comes over to me, sits on my lap in front of everyone.
Jesus.
Right? And she's sitting on my lap and I'm just frozen like a freaking statue. And I'm thinking to myself, what do you think I'm thinking? I'm thinking to myself, oh, someone dared her to do this. She's like,
yep.
Like this is, she doesn't actually like me. Like she's going to like go back to her friends and laugh about this. After a good like 2 minutes, she looks at me. Like shakes her head, like what the hell? What do I have to do to show you that I like you? Like as a girl, you know, as a girl too. And she walked away. And then like that next week, she like got with some other guy. And it was just like I could not take. And that was a sign of me like getting a clear sign. I can give you other signs of me being rejected by me trying. But like, there's just so many of those stories, man. It's ridiculous.
I've said this next sentence like 500,000 times. I swear to God, that is such a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have lost count of the number of guys like on this podcast and just like in my own coaching and stuff like that, that will say like, man, and you think that story was bad. I've had guys where like the girl is completely naked on their bed and then they still don't make a move because they're like, but I'm scared of rejection. And it's like, what do you, should she just grab your penis and put it inside her? And would you still be scared of rejection?
If they said, if you give me a 3-step method to get that to happen, they would say yes.
Yeah.
I want the foolproof, rejection proof, never rejected proof system to get laid.
Oh man. Like there are so many pickup artists and stuff on the internet that capitalize
on that. Say that. I don't want to cut you off, but like, I just want, what's crazy, you know, Mystery, obviously the OG in the game, right? I had a guy who was a client of mine. He said, Josh, I'm really a fan of Mystery. And he's saying in his marketing that his approach is 100% success rate with any girl. I'm like, what? That's like bad marketing. I mean, that's either, I don't know, man. Like, I was just so flabbergasted, as you could tell, when I heard that. I was like, damn, like, how can you prove that, you know?
I've seen so much of that shit. Like, because most of my stuff is probably, I'd say, like, I focus more, I give more advice on Tinder and, you know, how to get laid and how to have dates and shit like that.
Dude, the girl I'm dating right now, I met her off Tinder and like, she's like a 10. So yeah, like it works.
Tinder is top shit. But I've seen so much advice on the internet from people saying like, I can get you 3 dates within a week. How? And they will guarantee that. They'll say like, I will definitely get you 3 dates in the next like week. And it's like, well, what if this guy is like 100 kilos overweight?
Right.
Has horrible pictures.
Never talked to. Yeah.
Doesn't brush his teeth. Why have you set the bar that high?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Marketing, you know, people, they want business. And so they're going to put copy on there that people want. So it's, I mean, I understand the game, you know, I have a business myself, you have a business. So it's part of the game, I guess, but how do you still be ethical about it, you know, and be honest with guys?
And that is one of the biggest challenges. Like, I'm assuming just from what we've talked about that you're not some scumbag marketer. Not that you would admit to it after I've just phrased it like that, but you get what I'm saying. You're trying to be ethical.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's funny because like there is a balance with it, right? And people can, and so it's like you got to sell people what they want and give them what they need. That whole mindset, and like it's like, hey, because like I mean, I'm gonna tell guys like, hey, I can help you attract this girl, and it's gonna happen. But like at the same time, I'm behind closed doors. What I'm telling them is like, bro, you got to accept and love yourself. Like there's a secret.
Yeah.
You know? And like, my favorite quote of all time is, I'm going to misquote it here. I'm going to paraphrase it. It's like, it's not what you get by achieving your goals, but it's who you become in the process.
I fucking love that shit, man.
Yeah. Zig Ziglar, I think. And so like these guys understand after going through coaching, it's like, look, man, I'm not teaching you to basically avoid all rejection, get every girl. I'm teaching you when you go up to the girl, whether you get rejected or not, it doesn't affect the way you see yourself.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's the most important part.
At least for myself, most of my coaching is actually counseling. Like, it's funny how little of it is methods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been on your YouTube channel, and my blog is the same. You have put everything out there. Like, you've said, like, step by step, like, here's everything you need to do. You've got a lot of actionable YouTube videos. Yeah. And then when people hit you up for coaching, most of that is, like, they will come to you and say, like, can you tell me what to do? And you'll find most of the clients, once you dive into it, it's like, no. I need to like help you with some of your mental processes and help you figure out like with some of your negative self-talk, how you can overcome that and start being more positive. It's a lot more counseling than it is like actionable step-by-step. Here's what you should do.
You know how many conversations I've had about people's mother and father?
Yeah. Me too. Like, what was your childhood like?
But like, if I came up with a YouTube video, like, hey, how to fix your mother issues, like people wouldn't click on that. Like maybe a couple.
Yeah,
people,
I know. Right.
Like, no, because I've tried. I come out with a video like that, and it got decent views, but like nowhere near of like, hey, the 5 words to get her number or whatever. It's like, yeah, to go back to that whole
thing
concept. Yeah.
See, that's some of the stuff that I haven't done, and I think my goal is to start doing that more because I'm starting to monetize. I'm starting to make like I need to start paying my bills, and because I've always kind of neglected that side of things. I've always gone the opposite. Sure. I've always completely ignored the marketing, ignored the stuff that would actually help me. I've been very self-sacrificial in a very bad way. Because I've had a ton of people on my forums and stuff say like, Andy, like here's 5 ways you can make money. Why don't you just start doing this? And then I would just kind of not do it out of some sense of like guilt or like I owe them something.
Pride.
I should be giving free content. Yeah. I think it is an ego thing. I think it's like, I am better than every scumbag marketer. And I know that's an incredibly loaded term, but I'm looking at the worst people ever and saying, I don't want to be like them. And then I'm just doing the exact opposite.
Yes. Andy, like, dude, I and like, this isn't good or bad. Like, and you can stick with the same path you're on, but like, dude, I was literally like that up until last year, the first 5 years of my channel, if you look at it, like I wasn't, had no products, I know nothing. I'm like, I'm giving, like I was looking at bigger YouTube channels and I was like, I'm giving the same exact advice for free. Like, and it was like this ego behind it. And here's the thing, man, like, and maybe call me out on this if I'm doing some mental gymnastics here and I'm just trying to like get money. But like, I do believe there is this psychological law that when people invest in something with their finances, that they're more likely to get results and take action. And so like, I really do believe that when I get on the phone with these guys, like I could give these, like someone gets on a sales call with me, I can give you a free therapy hour of like trying to solve your problems, or I can convince you that, you know, one session with me isn't going to really truly solve the problem. It's just going to make you feel better. And then if I get you to actually invest a certain amount of money with me on a long stretch of a program, that you're going to take more action because you've invested and you're going to get better results. And so I truly do believe that people invest their money, they will get better results. And that's ultimately why you're doing this, Andy. You want to help people.
Yeah, for sure. There's two things I will say to that. The first is the more you spend, the more you take it seriously. Like, so at the start, my coaching was like $15 an hour. Right. And I would probably put like 4 hours worth of work into that because I would get the person to send me a bunch of questions beforehand. I would write like 4 pages worth of notes before the call. And then I would go over all that. And sometimes the calls would go for 2 hours. And then afterwards, I would email them anything that we didn't bring up during the call that I'd already written notes for. So it was like 4 or 5 hours worth of work for like $15. Right. And the number of people who didn't follow my advice, who didn't take action, who didn't do anything with that, they were just like, oh, thanks, buddy. And since then, I've put my prices up by, I think my prices are at this point, $250 an hour, which like perfect. Seems fucking insane. That's an insane amount of money.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, I
know it is. It is, Andy, but like, it's not. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Because now at this point, people come to me and they're like, okay, I'm absolutely serious. I've like saved up for a month to give you this money. I haven't gone out drinking for like a month. I've saved this money for you. And then I feed off that energy. I'm like, all right, bro, I'm not going to waste your money.
You show up make more. Sure. You show up. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
You show up more. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I still put that 4 or 5 hours worth of work into it. But now I'm enjoying doing that because I'm like, I'm getting, this guy's paying my fucking bills. Like this guy pays my rent for like 3 days from this one call. So I'm going to give him like, not everything. 3 days worth of effort, but exactly.
Like, it's like, you're going to show up. Mm-hmm.
It's like a gratitude thing. It's like, this motherfucker's helping me. Let me help him. And that sense didn't come when I was charging $15. And the people take it more seriously. The people I give advice to now for that much money, they fucking do what I say.
Oh, 100%.
And they will email me a month later and be like, bro, look at all these changes I've made. And I say like, thank God. Like, that's awesome, dude. And that wasn't happening when I charged $15.
There's a direct correlation with the, like, I keep on raising my prices. There's a direct correlation with the amount of I charge and the results the clients get. It's no secret. You know, there really is. So
yeah,
man. And you don't have to, I mean, you'll find your price point where you feel comfortable with, like, is this the area? Like, I don't feel too greedy, but I feel this is what it's worth. And like, honestly, with what you're helping guys with, Andy, is it life advice, mainly dating advice? Like, what is it tailored toward?
Life coaching, but also dating shit. But yeah, I'd say more like life coaching. And the way I do it is very much, you tell me your goals and I will fucking make them happen for you. Obviously you have to do it, but you're not going to leave the session without absolutely knowing you can do it. And if you do, then I'll just give you your money back. Like if you feel like you can't do it, I'll instantly give you, I don't want your money unless you feel like I've actually helped you.
I mean, like what is that? That's, what is that worth to someone depending on how much money they have? Like that's worth a lot of freaking money, man. You know, that's a big promise. And if you follow through with it, that's worth a lot of money.
I know there's still like, it's very much a balancing act. It's something that I'm, because I've been doing this for like a year and a half at this point, probably a year, seriously. It's something I'm overcoming. But it is funny that at the start you do have, I'm glad you used the word ego, because it is ego. You have this ego of like, I'm going to be better than everyone else. I'm going to give all this free content and somehow I'm going to pay my bills without ever asking for money. Like maybe if I just do the world's best free content, people will give me money. And it's like, that is true partly, but
yeah,
you still have to say like, you can give me money if you want to. Like, I don't push anything, but you have to have a coaching page on your website, or you have to have a Patreon, or you have to have like ads. You have to at least give people the chance to give you money. I'd love it to be this altruistic. There's no marketing. There's no like sales page. There's none of that. But I mean, you can do that, but then you need a part-time job. And then if you have a part-time job, how much time can you spend with this content? You're literally taking away from your audience if you don't ask for money. Because then you don't have as much to give.
Because the more money you have, the more resources you have to make better content and put better, more time into it. That just gives more value to your audience, you know?
You know, everyone listening to this right now, any one of your readers and listeners and all that and listens to this will say like, okay, this is a good conversation. Every one of my people that's listening to this is going to be like, Andy, you piece of shit. We've been telling you this for a year and a half.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're in the process of you've taken large steps already towards this. And so it's like you're in the direction, you're going the right way. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So your stuff is nofap. A lot of your stuff is nofap. Why do you hate touching your pee-pee?
Why do I hate touching my pee-pee? You can do it like libertarian lifestyle, man. You can do whatever the hell you want. Like if you want to watch porn, watch porn, like to each their own. So I'll start there. now to the people who, I do want to like illuminate for those who are unaware. It's not like a morality thing either. Like I'm not against the porn industry. I've recognized my personal experience that porn releases a lot of dopamine. And for those who don't know, dopamine is basically the incentive molecule, not feel good. Some people think, which basically means the more dopamine you have, the more motivated you are to do things. So for example, if you think you're about to have sex, that releases 100% of your dopamine receptors. If you're about to eat food, that's 50%. If you take meth, it's 1200%.
Jesus.
So what happens when I'm not going to try to get too scientific about it, just enough to cover the bases. When you release a lot of a chemical that's not natural, gates shut off in your neural synapses. And when you go back to default, you have less of that neurotransmitter in between your synapses. And so therefore, you have less dopamine naturally, but the more you have it released in abundance. So the more you watch porn, the less motivated you become. That's just the studies show that. So if low energy, low motivation is a problem, porn could be a cause. Erectile dysfunction, that's another cause. I can go into that. All because of that, also a lot of guys feel shame when they watch porn, because what happens when you watch porn, you need more and more novel stimulus. Like you need like when you were 12 years old, the first naked pair of tits you saw, you got a huge erection, right? You got popped a hard one. Now you see a pair of tits, you're like, oh, that's cool. And like your penis doesn't even like twitch, right? So you need like that gang bang scene, all this stuff. And it's like dopamine down regulation. So and it can lead to a dark place for a lot of guys who have addictive tendencies. So I just help guys who had that addictive tendency, who want to get rid of those negative consequences that are ubiquitous across all men, because our brain chemistry is the same. Porn goes along the same pathways as other drugs, the dopamine pathway. So not so much against touching your pee-pee. Like if you masturbate and there's no consequences and you're not doing it compulsively and it adds to your pleasure and stress release, touch yourself. Like, go ahead. That's a long answer of what you asked though, but yeah.
Yeah, I think like you said, it can go down a very dark path. I've talked on previous podcasts about my own porn addiction. I went down a really bad path. And I also had depression and some other stuff tied in there as well. But the porn was very much an outlet for me. It was like an escape.
Escaping, yep.
Yeah. And so I used that to not deal with my problems. Like I was in an abusive relationship. I should have broken up with her. I wasn't happy. I was depressed. I was suicidal. Like I should have dealt with those issues, but instead I went to porn. And like you said, it escalates. It gets to a point where you're just watching like fucked up stuff and still feeling nothing. And I would sit there for, I had a really bad porn addiction. I would sit there for like 8 hours a day. Like I wasn't even hard the whole time. It was almost like I was, like people escape with video games or with like TV, that kind of shit. I was just watching it because it was like a distraction. Even the most vile, like disgusting, abusive porn didn't get it up for me. I'm absolutely on board with the concept of nofap. Obviously, do whatever you want. But in my case, I've learned to minimize my porn. I still watch porn probably once or twice a week, if I'm honest. And I try not to jerk off too much because I like giving that energy to the girls that I'm dating, especially now that I have a girlfriend and stuff. I think that's maybe another consequence of porn addiction and jerking off, is that energy that you could be either putting into self-improvement or putting into yourself or putting into a girl, you're kind of wasting on a computer screen. This energy, you need to kind of transmute that and give that to girls instead of like wasting it.
Yeah, sexual transmutation is a huge aspect of it. And I think you touched on it the most with the escaping the problems. Like a lot of guys, I think a lot of guys are actually aware of this, if I'm going to be honest, but we don't watch porn a lot of times because we're aroused. We watch porn, we're bored, right? Which means you have a lack of purpose. You want to escape some negative emotions, or a lot of guys, a trigger is like they text a girl and she ghosts on them. They're like, they happen to just want to get an urge all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And so there's a famous quote by Bill W, the creator of Alcoholics Anonymous. He always said every alcoholic is trying to find God at the end of every bottle. I think us men are trying to find love and connection at the click of every mouse, right? And it's crazy because like a lot of these guys, I made them realize in moments where they felt so connected, it doesn't even have to be with a girl. It could just be connection with friends or family. Like I asked them, like, what was your urge in that moment? 0 out of 10. It's like, it's always a zero. Like when they're connected with other people and they're on their purpose, so they have like this drive moving them forward, they don't get urges. And so like once they recognize that, the more they watch porn, the more they're feeding into this like demon, so to speak, metaphorical demon that's like never satiated. It's never enough, right? It's like the more you try to fill up that bucket of sand, the bigger the hole gets. And so for a lot of guys, that is the thing. Now, if you can do it, you know, once, twice a week with no negative consequences, yeah, like circle back to you do you, man. Like I'm only helping guys who are struggling with it, you know?
Yeah. So with my own porn addiction, I got to a point where, because I paid a lot of money. It was like $400 a month or something for this essentially sex anonymous, like sex addiction anonymous kind of thing. But it was like an online course and we had like all sorts of check-ins and like proper internationally renowned psychologists and stuff. It was very hardcore. And that was for me trying to quit my porn addiction. And I got to a point after like a year of not being able to quit it where I realized, okay, the missing piece is that I haven't replaced this urge with something else. I haven't built any connections. I'm not dating.
Right.
I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have hobbies. I need to go out and actually have something to work towards. Because yes, giving up the porn addiction and jerking off and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, like that's something I need to do. But then I also have to be working towards something else. I can't just sit here in this room and think about not watching porn. Because eventually I don't have that much willpower. Eventually I will give in. And as soon as I replaced it, like you said, you find connections with friends, with dating if you want to do that, with hobbies, whatever the fuck it is. As soon as you actually have something to work towards, this shit gets a lot easier. I'm not going to say it's easy. I would love there to be a world where I don't watch porn at all, but I've come to a place of acceptance where I'm like, if I watch it once a week, I'm okay with that. Fine. But the point is you kind of have to have something to replace it with.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. We all have human needs and porn meets a lot of needs. Like the main core human needs, and see if I can get them all right. Like every behavior we do is connected to one of these four needs. We're either escaping something, right? We're trying to get attention. There's sensory pleasure. And I always forget the fourth, but like, I think porn meets like three out of the four of those needs. Like it's a sensory pleasure. It's an escape. I don't think we really get attention from it. It's more of like isolation piece, but yeah, man, it's super addictive. And like, you can get those needs met in another way. Like what I always tell guys is like, imagine a young kid like growing up and he's just like, he never knew water existed, right? So all he was offered when he was thirsty was Coca-Cola. That's all was in the house. He drank Coke. Now with Coke comes sugar and caffeine, right? Which comes obesity, which comes like caffeine withdrawals, shitty teeth, you know, like rotten away. And he never knew that water existed. It's like, dude, when you're thirsty, when you have that same core need, you can go drink water. It's the same thing with porn. These guys don't recognize little boys in our country are offered like computer screens and phones at the age of 12 years old. Most men I talk to, they start watching porn 11, 12 years old. They're exposed to this drug at 11, 12 years old, like, and they don't know how to deal with their emotions. So every time they feel those negative emotions, they go to the one thing that they've for decades has solved that problem. You see what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I think the more that you indulge in porn, especially porn, the less likely you are to go out and actually solve your issues with.
Because you're lowering the motivation, you know? You're, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. I can't tell you the number of people that have gotten into, that's why I was so excited to have you on here. The number of guys on my forums and stuff who've gotten into NoFap, where they just say like, okay, I'm going to jerk off like, I say NoFap, but like they say, I'm going to jerk off like once a week, but I'm not going to watch porn ever. And when I jerk off, I have to just do it in my bedroom. And then like when they start doing that, they're like, do you know what? On the fourth day, it was so weird. I went outside and I just started walking around and I was like, just kind of looking at girls and smiling at a few of them. And then like a week later, they'll be like, do you know what? Like I did what you guys have told me. I went outside. I just said hello to a couple of girls and told them they were cute. Like I have this intrinsic energy and motivation. And it's like, I want to go out there and hit on girls and build something instead of this destructive porn where I isolate at home. Cause porn is very destructive. Let's be honest. If you're sitting at home jerking off, you're not building anything. You're doing the opposite of building something and you're making it harder to then go out afterwards and build something because you have less energy, less motivation. A lot of guys have shame. I certainly did. Porn is very like destructive. It's almost control. It's like a controlling force that stops you from building the life you want.
And so like the cycle is this, right? This is a cycle with every guy and you're going to relate to this. We kind of already fleshed it out a little bit, but so let's start with like this. It doesn't matter where you come in on the cycle. Let's say you start with the porn. 99 times out of 100, most men, after they watch porn, because it's been such a like disgust, it gets more and more deviant, they feel guilty and shameful after they watch it, right? And so when you feel those low vibrational level emotions, the natural inclination is to isolate yourself, right? The more you isolate yourself, the more you experience things like depression, anxiety, and stress. And how do you escape those emotions?
Yeah.
You go back to porn.
Jump straight back in and jerk off. I know, it's fucking awful. And I used to do that. I used to have days where I would jerk off like 4 times a day to the point where like my dick just wouldn't even work because I was doing it for like, you know, 10 hours. And then at the end of it, it's like, you think I'm going to go outside and hang out with my friends? I fucking hate myself at that. I'm dirty and gross. Why would I go hang out with my friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have like fucking showers every time after porn because I couldn't like wash it away. Why have I done this? I think it's also because you know you're doing something addictive and that makes you feel dirty in itself. I'm an animal. Why can't I control this?
And like you see a woman, you're like, oh my God, like I just masturbated to a woman that looked just like that. Like you can't help but just see her just in that fashion. And it's like, yeah, man, it can be destructive, you know? You definitely can. That's why I help guys with it, you know? And then I've helped like, I think we have 230 guys in our group right now that have gone through it. And yeah, man, it's crazy. It's I think it's going to be like a, for lack of a better term, a pandemic for, you know, future guys as things get worse and worse. And, you know, like, I mean, we've only gotten smartphones in the past like 20 years. Like, so we don't know the longitude, like the long-term effects of like how technology is going to really affect us moving forward. I think porn's an aspect of that in our sexuality.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's only going to get, I don't know if worse is the right word, but I guess it's only going to go deeper when we have things like sex robots and shit like that.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Especially when the AI gets decent enough, like it's already pretty decent, but when the AI gets decent enough that she can talk to you as if you're a person and she can act like almost like a woman would.
Dude, I know, man. Like all those incels are going to have, you know, a girl to go to, I guess, right?
Okay, there is this weird part of me that's semi-happy that at least they have someone. I'm talking the lowest of the lowest of the low guys.
For sure, 100%. Yeah, like it's better than them like resenting all women and then like going out and doing God knows what. But yeah, I agree.
Okay, have you had many incels come on your channel or interact with you or message you or any of that sort of stuff? And like, what has your experience been? When I say incel, I don't mean someone who isn't having sex. What I mean is a guy who actually says, I am an incel, like someone who identifies as that.
Yeah, man. I never one-on-one. Sometimes they'll comment on my videos, especially when I make a video about looks, something, they're always in their victim mindset and be like,
yeah,
you're a Chad, blah, 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 you know, and stuff like that. So I used to like make videos because I feel for these men because I could have saw myself becoming MGTOW or incel if like I took the victim mindset. I didn't go to my, get my master's in psychology and learn about truth of human behavior and like learn my trauma and yada yada, fix it all. So I see myself in these guys and I want to help them. And so over the years I made a video or two trying to help them and they just like they just think I'm the Antichrist. Like it's like, yeah, it's sad, man. It's so sad. And like, and so it's that whole thing, man. Like, I want to help these guys, but like, you can only lead them to water. You can't force them to drink it. And so I just, it sucks, but like, I've given up on them. I only want to help guys who want help.
I've written a couple of articles. I wrote one called What to Do When You Feel Hopeless and Helpless. Yeah, I got like a bunch of replies on that and they were good replies, but like, you can tell that some of these guys are not ever going to actually take action. And then I have had so much hate, man. I have had so much hate. I think.
Love it. I love it. Love it. Love the hate.
I hate the hate. I'm
no, you got to fall in love with it. You got to fall in love with it, man. You have to, you have to see the truth behind, you know, the truth behind it, right? Like it's always the same thing. Anyone that hates, that goes out of the way to hate you. One, they care, right? There's a part of them that cares about what you're saying. Two, they're hurt, man. They're a victim. They're hurt. They need to lash out for their shitty life. And that's the truth of it always, man.
Yeah, but okay, here's the quote. You know the quote, if you stare into the abyss for long enough, the abyss stares back. And there is that mindset here. So I think like, I try not to focus on the haters. Like anytime I see someone that has any kind of hate, my philosophy is, okay, I'm going to like either block that person or mute that person or just never interact with that person.
Oh, for sure. If they're being abusive to you and they're like, yeah, leaving comments and you're thinking about it all day, like, yeah, for sure, ignore and block. But like, I don't know, man. It's never about you, man. Like, you're not taking it personally.
Oh, no. I know that. Absolutely know that. But that did take me a while. And for anyone that has never done any content creation or is just getting into it. The first time you get some hate, you're like, oh my God, like, does everyone hate me? Is there something wrong with me? Like,
I have good intentions. How could someone hate me?
Yeah. And then you realize, like, I don't know if you've had this. Okay, you must, because for anyone listening, your YouTube channel is what, like 60 fucking thousand followers at this point?
Yeah, it's like 64 or something. Yeah.
It's like fucking massive.
Well, thanks, bro.
So you must be able to agree. I know you're going to agree with what I'm about to say. I've found that people hate me for literally any arbitrary reason. Like shit that I can't even, I have control. This joke with my girlfriend. Yeah, I have this joke with my girlfriend once a week. I'll say like, oh, look at what this person said. And I'll say like, that's so creative. I never would have thought to come at that angle. Like that's a good reason to hate me. Like I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
Just insane shit. Ugh. I remember the first time I ever had a foursome, like in the bedroom, like three girls at once.
Hell yeah.
That was something I was really proud of. And I went and posted it on Reddit.
Good achievement. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, guys, like here's exactly what I did. Like it was three girls that I was kind of seeing like casually. I just basically asked them like, do you guys all want to hang out? I wrote out the entire, everything I did. And I said, here's how you can do it too. And if this is something you want, like message me, I'll help you with it. Like, I really want every guy to, you don't have to have a foursome, but like, I want you to know that stuff like this is possible.
It's possible. Yeah.
I'm not special. I'm not some fucking magical magician alpha Chad. If I can do this, you can do this too. And like, man, I got so much hate on that. And I was like, I was blown away because I was like, but I thought that you guys would be like happy for me and like that you guys would want this too. And like, I just got some like incredibly creative hate. Those must be prostitutes was the first thing that people said. Other people said like, why are you focused on women? Women are like all gold diggers. You should be going out there and like focusing on yourself. Like it's just incredible. The point that I'm making is it was something that I thought there's no way that anyone would ever be unhappy about this. And then 50 people found incredibly creative ways to be hateful.
Yeah. I mean, so like if you put a post like, hey, here's how I made my first $1 million. You're gonna get a lot of people being thankful. Then you're also gonna get a lot of people being like, "Oh, you're just bragging that you made $1 million. You're just trying to brag, you know." And no matter how benevolent you come from, right? And like, then like, I almost don't want to give this guy like, I also want to talk about this guy just in the 0.1% chance he's listening. But like, there's this guy who was, dude, this guy went out of his way, dude. Like, I'll just like he first started commenting on my videos. And I made the mistake of responding to the first couple. Right. That was my mistake because I engaged him and then he's like, oh, I'm getting reinforced. I'm getting attention. Right. Going back to the core needs. I'm getting attention because that's all he wants is attention. Right. And he literally set up fake calls with me, like created fake email accounts and set up a fake call with me to try to waste like put us an hour in my like to basically waste an hour where I could have had a client call. That's why he was doing it. He told me. I was getting all these fraudulent clicks on my funnel of like guys clicking on my ad and then like not watching the video and was like messing with my ad spend. And I'm not 100% sure it was him, but I'm pretty sure this guy was going out of his way to hit on me. It was crazy. Like, and I never did anything to this guy. I'd never seen him. He's never bought a product of mine, like nothing, but there's something about me that just triggers him. You know, it's crazy.
Oh my God, dude. And then you look at that and you're like, okay, how deep down the rabbit hole is he going? He's going very deep, but you take a step back and you're like, but wait, Josh's entire mission is to help people. Like, why is this guy trying to ruin Josh's life?
He started off by saying like I was charging too much, right? There you go. Like is like, you know, and so yeah, I don't know. He probably gets paid shit money at his job. You know, he's probably an older guy and sees some younger guy making more money. And he's like, this is bullshit. I don't know. Who knows, man?
It's like a very myopic view. It's like, okay, Josh is a bad person because he's asking for money instead of the whole picture, which is Josh is trying to fucking help you. I get that there's always going to be haters. It's part of content creation. I think at some point you get to a point where it's just kind of funny. I'm getting there. I'm pretty much there.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Like, they can be creative though, man. They can be really mean. Like,
they're so creative.
I've had people make videos about me now. I'm at that point where I've had other creators make videos about me and it's not going to stop, I'm sure.
And they will pick up on like one sentence that you said in one video. You say like, my mom didn't buy me ice cream. And then they will just like, Josh's mom is abusive.
Bro, like, okay, there's this channel. I never even heard of him before he made a video. I mean, I still haven't watched the video to this day. And the reason why is because I want to watch it on my 100. When I get 100,000 subscribers, I want to react to it. That's what my audience wants. So like, I'm going to wait. Because if you look up Daz Games, it's like Daz Games. This guy has like 5 million subscribers, bro. and he made a video about me and like about my my ads and my videos on like helping guys quit porn. And he found, I guess, my friends watch it, and they said that he picked out a video where I was like, it was like on dating advice, and he basically thought I was a misogynist and like I hated women. And like, cause I was cheated on my first girlfriend. And like I said that in one, a lot of my videos, I'm very open about it. Like, oh, my first girlfriend cheated on me. And like, and so he basically created this narrative about me, about how like, I'm just this hurt guy who's just trying to like take advantage of women. And, yeah, man, people take stuff out of context. They'll fit their narrative. And, it's pretty humorous, man. It's funny how creative people are, you know, how much time they spend on trying to bring you down, tear you down. It's interesting.
I will give them that, what you just said. They are very creative. Imagine if they got into like content creation. Obviously, this guy you're talking about already is into content creation.
Yeah, I mean, 5 million subscribers. Yeah, it's a lot of.
So he's doing a decent job. So I can't hate on him for that. But like the average person who gives you hate, imagine if they channeled their energy into
something positive, building people. Yeah, I know, right?
You're like, bro, you have like 12 hours free every day to obviously hate me or to just sit on Reddit and complain. Why don't you spend that 12 hours, like, I don't know, going outside and picking up rubbish from the street or something? Or like going to an old folks home and like fucking telling stories. Just, okay, go to the old, okay. I have the answer, bro, and you're going to love this. Every hater of Josh's that is listening and every hater of mine that is listening, what we want you to do is go to the old folks home. Okay, maybe not now with COVID, but in 6 months, go to the old folks home, and we want you to just sit down with a bunch of the old people and tell them how much you hate us. Okay, they're old and they're kind of probably geriatric, so they're not really going to know what you're saying, and they're just going to nod politely because they're probably very sweet people, and they're going to nod and listen to everything you say. What's going to happen there is you're going to feel good because you're complaining and venting, and they're going to feel good because some human being is actually talking to them in their old age when they're in a nursing home. It's a win-win. Everybody, please go do that.
Dude, I knew you started off being facetious, but that's actually a really good idea.
I know, right? Okay, but please be nice to the old people while you're there. Like, don't just vent at them for half an hour and then say, like, I also brought you this chocolate bar. You know, like, be nice to them. It's a win-win. It's like free counseling for you because you don't actually want counseling. You just want to kind of yell at someone.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Andy, that's hilarious. That's actually a really good idea.
We're going to get in trouble when like nursing homes report this massive increase in random strangers abusing, like verbally abusing, yelling at old people.
Oh, God, man. That's hilarious. Yeah, it's... Yeah, there's that quote. I'm gonna misquote it, but like, I mean, if no one hates you, like, or no, like, it's better to be loved by some and hated by some, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, not everyone's gonna like you, no matter how awesome you are or whatever.
And if anyone is listening to this and they've just started, because I have a couple of guys on my forums who've just started like YouTube channels and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you have to understand that this, like, getting hate is inevitable. It is in it. Yes. I'm sorry, there's no way you can avoid it. For my first year, I tried really hard to avoid it. And all that resulted in was I would stifle my own creativity. I would censor myself. I would rewrite articles. I would be incredibly neurotic. And I would sit there and read and reread and triple read every article before I hit the publish button to make sure that there was nothing in there that anyone could take out of context. And then I would hit publish, and then people would take something out of context. And at some point, I got to a point where I said, like, okay, no matter how perfectly I word this, I'm going to miss something because I'm only one guy and I have potentially, I don't know, like 100,000 people that could hate me. Those 1,000 people are going to be more creative than me. They're going to be able to look at this from different angles. They have a different life experience. They're going to be able to come up with some reason to hate me that I can't envision. So it is literally inevitable that I will get haters. So I need to embrace that. And I need to almost just say, you know what? I'm going to get hate. Let me just fucking do my shit. I know that people are going to take it out of context. Fuck them. I want to help guys. And I redirected my energy to just helping guys, which was my original mission. And I stopped trying to avoid hate.
And how connected, Andy, is that to just talking to a girl too, right? You can't walk up to a girl and be like, okay, I need every line, every response to everything she says, and then I'll get the right answer. It's like, no, you walk up to her, you say you like her, you present yourself. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, it's just... That's just the art of just expressing who you are in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I'm so goddamn glad that I found Good Looking Loser, Chris at Good Looking Loser, who like made it clear that you just go up to a girl and you say you like her and that's it. Like, it's not complicated. Because I was so like shit scared of rejection that I was trying for a little while. I'm glad I didn't do it for very long, but I was trying for a little while to not ever do anything wrong or say anything wrong. And then, yeah, I realized like some girls would get angry if I said like, hi, you're cute. I'm Andy. Like they would get angry at that. I walked up to a couple of girls that were probably in hindsight, like super staunch feminists. Yeah, they would like literally say like, you can't be telling girls that they're cute. No matter how nice you are, you're going to get girls rejecting you. That's kind of the whole point. That's kind of the fun. And I guess maybe this is some advice for myself and anyone else who's listening. Haters are kind of the fun. Like if you're getting haters, you're doing something right.
No, what's funny is like, I mean, maybe you can agree to this now, but like if I get blown out of the water by a girl, like I just find that so funny. Like it pumps up my state. Like because I know it has nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing. If a girl's kind of like, you know, indifferent and apathetic, it's like, okay, maybe I could like be a little bit, or maybe she's just boring, who knows? But like if a girl's overly mean, it's like that is just humorous because that is nothing to do with you. That's just a funny situation because that leads to a story later on. Like she's just giving me content, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it took me a long time to get over that. Yeah, I did get to a point where I embraced the fact that if any girl is mean to you, she's essentially being mean to a stranger. And people who are mean to strangers, I think we can all agree, are assholes.
Are dicks, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anytime a girl was mean to me, if I was polite and really nice and, you know, like normal, if she was mean to me, I'd be like, wow, that girl's an asshole. Yeah, I got some like really bad reactions. Like one girl told me to fuck off and I was like, no, you fuck off. And she's like, no, you fuck off. And she just kept getting more angry and I was like laughing and I'm like, no, maybe you should fuck off. I had some girl like call me a cunt and I was like, that is such an impolite thing to say to a stranger. And she was just like, well, you shouldn't have talked to me. And you're right. It's like those become amusing because you're like, there must be something wrong with her. Maybe that's not a good way of phrasing it. She's having a shitty day or she's mentally unstable or her friend just fucking stopped hanging out with her or her boyfriend. Like there's something in her life that has made her lash out. It's not about me. As long as I was polite and respectful and normal, yeah, it's got nothing to do with me. She just wasn't available.
Like, you know, you're a good person. If someone doesn't treat you that way, it's not about you. And like the funniest thing is this hasn't happened to me in a long time, but like, I mean, if some girl would treat me that way, I would just be like, aw, like I would see them as like a little child, like just like throwing a temper tantrum. It's like, oh, you poor thing. Like you're in a lot of pain right now. That sucks. All right. Bye. Like that's all it is. You know, it's nothing about you. It's just,
I think that's an inevitable point you get to with everything, but especially with girls. When you have a certain level of experience, you start to empathize. Okay, let's just talk specifically about girls. You do start to empathize with girls. You get to a point where you start seeing things from their point of view, and it stops becoming this struggle where it's like, I'm trying to conquer the woman that I'm hitting on, or I'm trying to like get sex from them. It starts becoming like, no, she's just a fucking person.
Exactly, yeah.
And then from that point, funnily enough, I think most guys on my forum, like most guys on my side of things who are listening to this are on board with this concept because it's something I've written like 50 fucking articles about. They understand that once you start empathizing with girls and you start seeing them as like, oh no, she's like on my team. The two of us are on the same team. Like we want the same thing. She wants to have a good time. I want to have a good time. She wants love. I want love. She wants sex. I want sex. Like once you start having that mindset, man, it becomes so much easier to have sex, to date, to build something with other people. Like it becomes so much easier once you stop having this combative, I have to conquer her mindset. Mm-hmm.
Because implicitly that creates a pedestal mentality where like she's something to be achieved and so therefore you're under her.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And then the second thing I always tell guys, which goes along the same lines, is like, dude, I've talked to so many women, not just women I've dated, clients, even I had female clients, friends, yada, yada. Girls are secretly hoping and begging you are the guy that is going to be sweep her off her feet, that's going to be confident. Now, she doesn't express that in her face because she's dealt with so many creeps. She has to put up that defense. But like in the back of her mind, she's like begging, like, please have this guy be normal. Please have this guy be cool. Like she's rooting for you secretly.
Yeah. I think what you just said is the key point. It's not even so much, okay, yes, they're like, there is that Disney fairy tale notion of like, I want this guy to sweep me off at her feet. But like, honestly, at this point, I think most girls just want you to be fucking normal. And then when you just walk up and you're like, yo, you're hot, what are you up to? I'm Andy. She's like, wait, what? A normal guy? And then she'll say like, I hate using this word, but like sometimes girls do a shit test. Well, it's not even a shit test. It's like, she's just like, she has her guard up. So she might say something like, do you say this to all the girls? If you're just normal and you say like, yeah, I said that to like 5 girls today. She's like, wait, why is this guy being normal? Why is this guy not being weird? And then if you just from that moment onwards, like you get to a point where she might say like, are you trying to get in my pants or something? And if you're just like, yeah, like, I'm attracted to you. You're attracted to me. Like, of course I want to have sex with you. At that point, she's like, why is this guy being so normal? Like, this is not what I expected. I can't tell you how many girls that I have slept with and, like, clients of mine have slept with and guys on my phones have slept with by just being fucking normal. And then the girl right. afterwards or during it will say, like, you know, you're not like any other guy. And you say, like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you haven't lied to me. And you're like, yeah, I can't be fucking bothered lying to you. Sorry. Plus, that goes against, like, my core principles. I hate dishonesty. You know, like I said before, I'm very much like a libertarian. I don't like the idea of manipulating someone else. The girl would, or any girls would just be like, this is so out of the ordinary. Like, aren't you supposed to be playing games with me? And you're like, no, I can't be bothered playing games. Like, and I don't want you to play games. If you want to play games, sure, but like, I'm not going to date you. It's this higher bar that you set for her and yourself. And then, man, girls like respond. So most people respond so well to that because you can do this in your friendships and your business relationships as well. Dropping the games and just saying like, no, I'm just going to tell you the truth because I can't be fucking bothered lying because it's too much effort.
You're saying people can be honest and authentic, Andy? Is that not really works?
And completely fuck it. See, I know you use the word in your videos and stuff like authentic and honest. And I love that shit. I just call it being fucking normal. We're saying the same thing, but like, like you're just being normal. Just don't be weird.
Yeah, I know. And it all stems back to the same thing we were talking about. Like, if guys don't feel they're enough, they had to put on this persona, this mask. That's why, it all comes down to self-acceptance, man. Self-love, self-acceptance, that's all it is. Right?
Yeah, for sure. If you're happy to segue, can I fire a couple of... We don't have to spend a bunch of time, but like a few guys from my forums ask questions because a couple of guys have actually seen your videos and stuff and they were like, oh, shit, like... So we'll just kind of rapid fire them.
Yeah.
So Joe Ronimo, how does he, as in you, or others go to sleep when super horny and alone if you can't jerk off?
Yeah, man. So, you know, an urge, as the guys call it in the community, or arousal, is an emotion like any other, right? It comes and goes. So there's two approaches to this. One, you know, a lot of guys, when they have an urge, what they do is they make it worse. They don't accept it. They try to distract themselves, right? And they act on that urge, right? And so you just do the exact opposite. First thing you do is you accept it, because let's say you have anxiety. So the people get, oh, I have anxiety. I shouldn't have anxiety. So then they have anxiety that they have anxiety. So the first step is to accept, like mentally accept, okay, I have an urge right now. Take a deep breath. All right, yeah. I mean, that means I'm a normal dude. like accept that it's a freaking normal thing to have an urge, right? Don't think to yourself, oh, I shouldn't be having this, like this sucks, like blah, 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 right? Going into panic mode. The second thing is like to like let it flow through you. This is kind of more that sexual transmutation stuff. Like even close your eyes, you can visualize it out. Like imagine seeing that, like that urge, like down in your groin, like this energy, because all the blood, like blood is energy, where energy goes, you know, blood flows, energy goes, right? So imagine all this blood's going down there and you want to act on it. Just imagine breathing that energy across your body, right? And then one of my favorite quotes in regards to this area is by Dr. Viktor Frankl. He's a psychologist who survived the Holocaust. He's wrote a book called The Man's Search for Meaning. It's really good. If no one's heard about it, I highly suggest it. He basically said between every stimulus and response, there's a little bit of time. And I'm paraphrasing him here again. But basically in that time, in that space between our stimulus and response, is basically the emotion and the action, is our choice to choose, like our choice, right? Our choice to choose what we can do. And in that freedom lies our growth. So basically what he's saying is that like those little moments where you have an emotion in that space between your next action, whatever you do, it seems like it's not a big deal, but like simultaneously, if you can learn how to control, but that action after those initial urges, those emotions, that controls your whole life is what he's essentially saying. And so recognize the next time you get an urge at night and you're horny, accept it. One, try to breathe through it. And also tell yourself that like, you're going to get urges in the future and you can kind of just like let it go, right? Let it flow through you, so to speak. Another good book that talks about sexual transmutation is David Deida's The Way of the Superior Man. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it.
Yep.
So there's Geronimo's answer.
Dude, I love that. So I want to touch on what you just said about, you essentially said, don't beat yourself up because you have urges. Yeah, you can become incredibly neurotic because you're focused on the fact that, oh my God, I have these urges. I shouldn't have these urges. What's wrong with me? And then you start beating yourself up. And then your best tool when you feel shit is going to porn. So you're kind of making it inevitable that you're going to go and watch porn,
right?
Because you've just made that happen. You've just beaten yourself up. This is something like I had to overcome. My girlfriend, she has an eating disorder like bulimia, and she tends to like binge eat sometimes to deal with her problems. That's been one of the hardest struggles, is like, don't beat yourself up when you binge. Because early on, she would binge eat, and then she would hate herself for doing that. And then she would go, so I should just do it again to deal with that. A point that she's come to over the last year is, no. If I binge eat, I'm human. I'm a shitty human. I'm a fucking failure. That's fine. I'm a normal, crappy, we're all fucking complete train wrecks. That's part of the human experience. That's fine. And so she's now at a point where she probably binge eats like once every 2 months. And if she does, she's immediately fine. She's like, yeah, that was fucking stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Fine, whatever. I'll be nice to myself for the rest of the day. And I think that's a really good, you didn't quite touch on this, but another thing you can do on top of everything you said is, if you have these urges, be fucking nice to yourself. I talk about this all the time on my podcast. Go and do something nice to you that you enjoy. Go and have a nice steak. Go and hang out with your mates. We're talking about like when you're about to go to sleep. So do something nice before bed, meditate or something, something you genuinely enjoy that gives you pleasure, that feels nice, and be a best friend to yourself. Do the things that you would do to your best mate if he said to you, bro, I have these urges and I'm fucking really tempted to do something I regret. Whatever you would do to him, whatever you would say to him, do that shit to yourself.
I like that advice. That's really good advice, Andy. Yep.
All right. Next question is from Improvements. And he says, how much of NoFap is placebo effect?
So I would argue, here we go, you ready? I would argue life is placebo effect. Everything is in the mind already, right? And so everything is a placebo effect, man. Like, I believe that if you set your mind to anything, you believe something will work, it'll work. And there's a lot of studies, the mind controls everything. The mind controls everything. Now, I am a big proponent of empiricism and, you know, basically having a scientific backing for things. I'm not going to go here and say that you're going to, you know, I know a lot of NoFap videos talk about like these superpowers, and I kind of make fun of them in some of my videos on the benefits. You're not going to freaking have superpowers, but like realistically, you're going to see a growth. You're going to see improvement. You're at the base of it all. You're going to go to a default in your brain chemistry, which is really good. But yeah, everything's placebo. Your mind creates everything. Like literally, even muscle synthesis. Like the more you're stressed out, you know, the less your body's able to produce the muscle synthesis and have your muscles grow, and your mind's creating that. But if you're less stressed out, you're more likely, if you're working out, you're going to have more muscle growth. Your brain literally affects your body chemistry. So everything's placebo in life. That's my answer to that. So what you tell yourself is going to happen is usually going to happen. And so when it comes to withdrawal symptoms, a lot of guys have withdrawal symptoms when it comes to NoFap. I've never experienced any withdrawal symptoms after not watching porn. And that's because they were never on my mind and I never experienced them. Like I've never had blue balls ever, knock on wood. You know, I've never experienced that apathy or anhedonia or the flat line where they talk about. And that, I think that the biggest part of that is because I don't believe into that narrative that it would actually happen to me. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So I think placebo has a negative connotation. I think people think that placebo is a bad thing, like which blows my mind because I'm of exactly the same mindset as you, which is if something works, like why do you give a shit? Like, so if it is placebo, but you are genuinely happy, but it's only placebo, why would you care? Good. I want it to be placebo. If it works, if it leads to a better, healthier, happier life, why does it matter if it's all in your head? If you want to get all metaphysical, I love using this analogy of like, what if we're in the Matrix right now and all of this is just in your head and this is all just a simulation? Then everything is fake. So why do you care if something's placebo? It might all be fake anyway.
Exactly, man. I mean, I'm a big proponent of like, you know, law of attraction and manifesting and all that stuff. And yeah, man, I mean, read books like Dr. Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, and these other books that have now scientific backing behind the laws of physics and like creating your reality. I mean, this is also complemented by a lot of my psychedelic experiences, but you really are literally physically creating your reality with your mind. So I think that's a whole nother episode in itself. We can talk about that, but
yes,
I think your reality is dictated by your mind in itself. So,
oh, for sure. And there's a great book that I'm going to leave a link in the show notes below. I've talked about this book all the time. I never shut up about this book. It's called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. Mm. It's a very practical, like hands-on book. You have to read it, dude. You have to read this book.
I'm typing it up right now.
It's amazing. I think the best exercise he has in the whole book is sit in the room that you're in right now. And I've done this on a podcast. I've talked people through how to do this actual exercise. You sit in the room that you're in right now and you look around the room and you find everything that you can be annoyed at. So you say like, oh, the door is kind of creaky. I hate that. It pisses me off every time I open it. I hate that the floorboards kind of creak. I hate that this room is too small. I hate that the walls are white and boring. Like you look around the room and you find 50 reasons to complain. And then you take a deep breath and in the same room, you look around and you find 50 things to be grateful for. Like, okay, I am grateful that there's four walls to this house and a roof and that I don't have to get wet and be miserable and sit outside in the rain. I'm grateful that I have a bed and it's very comfortable and more comfortable than most people had in the past human history. You come up with 50 reasons and then you think about how you feel. And what you find is, obviously, after you come up with 50 reasons to be grateful, you feel really damn good. And after you came up with 50 reasons to complain, you feel really damn bad. And you start doing this more in real life. As you walk down the street, you find things to be grateful for. And if you do this enough, you start feeling better. And then you start realizing, oh my God, like I hated my job. And I thought that my job was objectively bad. But as soon as I started finding reasons to be grateful for my job, I now think my job is objectively good. And the job didn't change. My mindset changed. That is the only thing that changed. I started looking for reasons to be grateful at my job that I hated. And then you start thinking, holy shit, everything that I think is bad, is it actually bad or am I just being negative? All of this is manifested in your mind. It's your framing. It's your, whether you're being positive or negative.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I couldn't have said it better myself, Andy. It's like, it really is. And I don't know why anyone listening to this who's questioning it is questioning it if they are. Like your thoughts create everything you do and your emotions. And I mean, Dr. Hawkins is another, I'm trying to give like guys who tend to be very logical and rational when they hear all this, they want like proof and stuff. So that's why I'm like, look up David Hawkins, Power Versus Forces, his book, Dr. Joe Dispenza. They give more practical and kind of a scientific backing for this kind of, these kind of concepts to kind of get it away from the esoteric. It's true, man. You're creating your reality and everything you have in your life, good and bad, you created you. It all comes from your thoughts, man, like 100%.
Yeah. What you just said reminds me of a book by Jocko Willink. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, I love Jocko. Yeah.
He has this concept of like ultimate responsibility. Everything in your life is your fault. So it's up to you to fix it.
Yep. Extreme ownership. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll ask a final question from Corey. And he says, does Josh think that doing NoFap is always better than not doing NoFap? So one scenario where I would argue that it's better to not do NoFap is if you're intentionally trying to get more in touch with your mind-body connection, learning where your point of no return is so that you can last longer in the bedroom, edging to learn to last longer, etc. It seems like intentionally training via masturbation requires you to forego the benefits of NoFap. What does he think about that? I'm talking about general masturbation, not specifically to porn.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just going to refer back to the beginning of our conversation when you mentioned the touching the pee-pee. your behavior has certain consequences, period. Now, those aren't moralistically good or bad, but I'm not anti-masturbation. I never say I am. I'm all about it. If you want to touch yourself, you want to get off, you want stress relief, you want to learn how to have orgasmic control, learn how to come without coming, like all this stuff that you can do with conscious masturbation, go for it. I'm a fan of doing things consciously and recognizing the consequences and not doing that. And the basis of all addiction is doing things compulsively and doing things despite consequences. And so if there's no consequences for you touching yourself, like by all means, you know, are you going to forego additional benefits? Yeah, I mean, I would argue that, you know, semen retention does increase your amount of energy after a certain amount of days, and you are naturally more energetic and have more testosterone peeking through your body. And with added testosterone becomes, you know, a lot of effects that I'm sure you're well aware of, Andy. So at the end of the day, man, like as much as I teach this and have a product on it and help guys with it, like it's not that big of a deal. And that's just my personal philosophy. Guys are nitpick over the nitty gritty things. And it's like, at the end of the day, man, it is not a big deal. Watching porn and going to that deviant dark place, that's a big deal. That's what I'm against. But like when it comes to masturbation and semen retention, like to each their own.
Yeah, I think there is a big like cult status around NoFap and people think it is a cult. I have to just never jerk off. Like one of my other questions from another guy, he said, I reached 130 days on my first go of NoFap. It was amazing. And then he basically fell off after that point. And it's like, dude, why have you said it that it has to be this perfect thing that you have to just never jerk off for the rest of your life? That it's like binary. It's either I'm a complete failure or I'm a complete success. It's not a cult.
One of the things I say is in like guys who are advanced is like, I stopped counting the days a long time ago. It's like when you're a quote unquote master at this, like you stop counting, like just like with women, like I'm not sure if you do this, Andy, but maybe you do, maybe you don't. But like I don't know how many women I slept with. I don't care. It's just a freaking number. Like, I don't care how many days I've gone
missing. I have like a rough number, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Like, some of you guys have like a rough number, plus or minus like 10 or 20, whatever. But like, if this is no longer a problem for you, the days don't matter anymore. It's just not a part of your life anymore. You know what I mean? Like, stop making it into this like ego gratification achievement thing. Yeah, it just is. Like, don't make it a big deal. Which seems so counterintuitive. I'm preaching this, but yeah.
No, it is. It's fun. Exactly like what you just said. Like, one of my biggest missions is to get guys like sexual experience, get them laid, get them having dating experience, that kind of stuff. But funnily enough, the best way to do that is by not caring as much. But I get that exactly. Takes a while to get to. We can't tell like a complete newbie, just don't care about women. like don't stress about women and you'll get laid. It's hard to do that. I want to say one last thing on what you said a couple of minutes ago. You were talking about you're all for people making decisions as long as they're like well thought out and they understand the consequences and they're making like a conscious choice to do that. That is something mm-hmm. I preach like all the time. And I refer to it as like self-awareness. You're aware of how your mind works, how your body works, your thoughts, your feelings, your wants, your needs, like all that information. And then you can make an informed, rational decision, sometimes well-researched, sometimes a little bit of research. But like essentially, we're saying the same thing. You need to know what you're getting into. Answering this guy's question, if he wants to jerk off to help himself, as long as he understands the consequences, that it could become an addiction, that he could easily start rationalizing and saying like, well, I'm jerking off. Maybe I should watch just a little bit of porn or like that kind of gray area porn. Maybe I should look at like girls in bikinis. As long as you understand that that is a consequence, yeah, like I'm all for it as well. You're obviously for it. Do whatever makes you happy. All I give a shit, tell me if you agree, all I give a shit about is that you do whatever makes you ultimately happy and the people around you happy and you're not making anyone miserable. That's all I give a shit about. Do whatever the hell you want as long as you're happy and people around you are happy.
It sounds so simple and guys complicated so much, but that's all it is, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, I think there is this cult of personality. I'm sure you would obviously be feeling this with as many subscribers as you do, but people like look to you and say like, okay, whatever Josh says is correct, whatever Andy says is correct. And then like, they'll kind of debate with each other and say like, no, but you can't be doing slightly different to what Josh said. Cause he said in this video that you need to do this. I'm sure you do this. Like you'll come in and just be like, I don't really care what you do. Like, I just want you to be happy. Like I'm not correct. I'm just giving you one point of advice.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, because of that whole idea, like I'm getting guys now up to the point where like guys are looking up to me and like, I want to like rip that away from them. I like, so what I want to do, and as we wrap up here, I want to like basically relapse on purpose and then like tell guys like, yeah, don't look to me as like some leader or like example. Like it's not a big deal is what I basically want to like tell them, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I have article, probably the best example of this is an article on my website called I Am Always Full of Doubt. It's basically like this long article of me showing like every bit of neuroses I have, every insecurity I have, everything I'm not sure that I will ever achieve, all of my negative self-talk. And I've just laid it bare. And then I've said, stop thinking that I'm fucking perfect just because right. I have a website, just because I'm like right. further ahead down the line than you are. Like I'm right. just like you. I'm just 2 years ahead of you.
Dude, exactly, man. That's all it is. Like, and that helps you. Like, as you get grow, you're following to it. Like, a lot of coaches and stuff, like they get an ego around like who they are, and I, you know, and yep. it's like, no, that's why it's so important to make sure that you don't have an ego around it, because like no one has all the answers. No one has all the answers, and if they say they do, they're freaking lying. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are experts who say that they have all the answers, and I hate it on one hand, but I also don't necessarily blame them, because I understand that with like cult of personality and when you get a big enough following, there is a hell of a lot of pressure. So I don't necessarily blame them for doing it. It's a very easy trap to fall into, to say like, okay, I have to appear like I have all the answers, because if I show my vulnerability, if I show that I have doubts, if I make it clear that I don't have all the answers, fuck, what if people stop reading my shit, or what if they doubt me? So I don't blame people for doing that.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I just don't want that to be me personally. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, too. Yeah, yeah. If people want to find your stuff, where should they find you?
Yeah, so I'm just going to make it easy for them. Go on YouTube, Pinnacle of Man. And then any of my videos has my contact information if they want to email me. It's pinnacleofman@gmail.com. But yeah, content on YouTube and Pinnacle of Man. And then they can shoot me a personal email if they want questions, or I'll give any advice or yada yada. So yeah, that's where they can find me.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. I'll have a link down in the show notes below to Josh's YouTube channel. So go check him out. Awesome guy, awesome videos. Thanks so much for coming on, man. This was like an amazing chat. This was really
cool. Dude, yeah, it really was. I appreciate it, Andy. I really do.
No worries, man.
Cheers.
I like to sing to myself because I'm fucking crazy. Yeah, yeah. While I wait for my guests to come on, I sing to myself because I'm a fucking weird cunt. Yeah. Gotta test my audio, make sure my microphone works real well.